بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد ما شاء الله we have a youngsters jamaat here as well from Huddersfield so they're leaving today after the Thursday they'll be leaving So inshallah, in our today's dars, I'll try and incorporate a few words for the benefit of myself and for everyone, for all of the attendees inshallah, so we can all benefit. So this chapter that we were covering in Riyadus Salihin was the chapter wherein Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is bringing those ahadith which are related to the tarbiyah and the training of your children and your family members. And Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions explicitly at the beginning of this chapter the verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاصْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا And Allah ta'ala also says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا That it's a very clear command to us in the Quran. That it's a responsibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on all of us to ensure how we can call our family members, our children, our spouses, anyone who falls under in our responsibility, how we can invite them towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we can ensure that they are focused on their akhirat, that their focus does not only lie in worldly matters, education, job, house, car, all of the nice things of the world, rather a person's focus is always the hereafter. And he overlooks, or she overlooks, the things that are in front of them. Because it's very easy to get caught up in what is in front of you. Whether it's your university studies, whether it's your job, whether it's your business, it's very easy to get so sucked up into it that a person struggles to make time to remember Allah Ta'ala. And then many times a person is free, a person is single, then a person can do many things that you know that they feel that alhamdulillah I'm progressing on the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as soon as then marriage comes in, and then after marriage they feel this big difference, this big change, that there was a time when I could do so much more and now I can't do so. And then children come along, and then you get older, and there are more obstacles. And that's why the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, اِغْتَنِمْ خَبْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ That value five things before five things. شَبَابَكَ قَبْلَ حَرَمِكَ Your youth before your old age. وَصِحَّتَكَ قَبْلَ سَقْمِكَ And your health before your illnesses. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions all of the other things. وَغِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ وَحَيَاتَكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ All of the different. So when a person is free, فَرَاغَكَ قَبْلَ شُغْلِكَ Your free time before you become occupied. Many times we think to ourselves that, you know what, I'm unmarried, mashallah, I'm a 25-year-old person, a 30-year-old person, and I know that I need to be working hard on my deen, but you've got plenty of time. So shaitan lets you do whatever he needs to do now, whatever he wants you to do now. As soon as you get married, as soon as children come in, he knows that he will make you so distracted with all of those things that you won't make any time to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will just say, oh, it's okay, I've got marriage. Oh, it's okay, I've got kids. Oh, it's okay, I've got a job and I've got these responsibilities and all of this running around. It's okay if I do the little bit. It's okay if I do a small amount. Remember, our nafs and our shaitan know us better than we know ourselves. They know our weaknesses, they know our strengths. And what they will do is slowly, 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 they will push you into your weakness and they will try and keep you there. Your nafs knows, if you're a person who is an introvert, you like staying at home, you don't like meeting with people much. So now your nafs and shaitan will devise a plan. This guy, he doesn't like meeting with people outside. He's not going to go outside and do gunas in the open, sin in the open. He's not that type of person. He's someone who likes staying at home. So they will draw a picture for you at home, that this is where we can make him fall into fitna. Even though he's in closed doors, nobody else is seeing him, we can make him become so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sitting at home, and fall into so much sin sitting at home. Your nafs and your shaitan know who you are. Similarly, someone who's an extrovert, who does not like sitting at home, likes going out, being with people, they will devise a plan for you there. That's why we have to be very, very vigilant, and we have to be very, very careful that all times we try our best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we never ever become overconfident and we never ever become too pleased with ourselves. All of the pious people of the past, when we would see them, they would always reprimand themselves. They'd tell themselves off. Doesn't matter what good deeds they did, some of them were the greatest saints of the time. They would address themselves and they would feel that they were the worst person in the sight of anybody. And in their own sight, I'm the worst person. If only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have mercy upon me, if only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive me. And that is the reality. Unfortunately, many times we start doing some good deeds, and these good deeds develop pride inside ourselves, and the ego and arrogance. And shaitan wants this. Shaitan knows that young people, very easily we can fall into pride, we can fall into arrogance. And once you fall into pride and arrogance, it's very easy for you to be toppled down. It's very easy to knock you down. That's why we need to always be humble. We need to always keep ourselves low. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, "Man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah." Whoever is always humble, that I am nothing, I am nobody. If Allah Ta'ala did not have mercy upon me, if Allah Ta'ala did not bless me with iman, if Allah Ta'ala did not give me all of these abilities and all of these blessings, I would be a nobody, I would be a nothing, I'd be worth nothing. We need to always keep ourselves at that position. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would explain this hadith, he would say, "Man tawadha'a lillahi rafa'ahu Allah, wa man takabbara wada'ahu Allah." Whoever has takabbur, Allah Ta'ala will debase him, Allah Ta'ala will disgrace him. "Fahuwa fi aynihi kabirun wa fi ayunin nasi saghirun." To the extent that he will feel that I am something very special. In his own eyes, he will have a very high opinion of himself, but in the eyes of the people, he will be very low and very disgraced. "Hatta lahuwa ahwanu alayhim min kalbin aw khinzir." To the extent that many times he will become worse in the people's eyes than a dog or a pig. The same way you look at a dog and a pig with like they are despicable and they are disgusting, and you don't want to go close to them. If they touch your clothes will become impure. That's how many times people are looking down upon a person, but that person on the other hand thinks of themselves as very special. Someone good, someone. So this is takabbur, the downfall, the pitfalls of takabbur, the pitfalls of pride. That's very, very important, my dear respected brothers and elders, that we understand which day and age we live in. We live in a very difficult day and age. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, "Tabadiru bil a'mali fitanan ka qita'il layl al muzlim, yusbihu ar-rajulu mu'mina wa yumsi kafira wa yumsi mu'mina wa yusbihu kafira." Hasten to do good deeds before such fitan, such difficulties, such trials come in front of you. "Badiru bil a'mali ka qita'il layl al muzlim," like pieces of dark night. A person will be a believer by morning, a disbeliever by evening. A disbeliever by evening, a believer by morning. The iman that a person has in their heart will be worth so little that they can sell it for the dunya very, very easily. يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. And we are already in this time. When you ask so many, 99.9% of our young Muslim brothers and sisters, you ask them a bit about the Islam. They say they're Muslim. Okay, you're a Muslim. Now tell me about Islam. Do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you know who your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was? And if somebody comes along and says, "Did you know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," and they bring up something which is an attack against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, automatically their faith is shaken. Automatically they feel they don't have a leg to stand on. Either they hide out of embarrassment and out of shyness, or they don't know where to go. And their iman is shaken. And that's why many of them leave their faith. So we always have to be humble. And we always have to do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the Anbiya alayhim salam, those who were the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is from the greatest of the Anbiya alayhim salam. Always doing dua to Allah ta'ala for hidayat. Always doing dua to Allah ta'ala for guidance. And that's why in the Quran, the Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah ta'ala teaches us, what is that? What's the first dua? Allah Ta'ala teaches in the Quran, "Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim." Are we not already on hidayat? Are we not already believers? Are we not already Muslims? But five times namaz on a daily basis, in every single rakat, the first dua we're doing to Allah Ta'ala is, "Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim." Oh Allah, guide me to the straight path. The Mufassirin have mentioned under this ayat that look, hidayat is not a kind of a one-way street or just like a one station. That you've got to hidayat, that's it. Everybody's level of hidayat is different. Everybody's level of hidayat is different. But the basic level of hidayat should mean that you have full yaqeen in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we ask a normal Muslim, do you have full yaqeen, conviction? Allah has created Jannah, do you have full conviction? Allah has created a Jahannam, do you have full conviction? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who feeds you, do you have full conviction? We ourselves can assess our answers. So we're not even on the basic level of hidayat, and after that it increases. Till you die, a Muslim's level of hidayat is always increasing. If they are becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are rising in their level of faith and their level of ma'rifah and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're unfortunately not even at the basic level. And that's why it's very, very important. Like I said, we can never become big-headed. Unfortunately, the youngsters nowadays, we become, mashallah, we become a little bit religious and automatically we start judging other people. Automatically we start assuming bad things about people. All the, the young brothers who come to me, the ones who just a couple of months ago, I know what the problems that they were going through, how they had nothing to do with namaz or masjid or anything else. Couple of months later, mashallah, they've been introduced to Islam, they are trying to connect with the masjid. Now already they've fallen into, why is this person like this? Why is this person like this? Why is this group like that? Why is this group like this? They are judging, they are assessing, they are saying, I have enough intelligence to know the difference between this and to know the difference between that. Straight away they fall. And the shaitan wants, remember, we have to understand, shaitan has done this job for a very long time. He knows exactly, young people are going to come in here and they're going to go this way and they're going to go this way and they're going to fall right here and I'm going to take them right there. So we have to be very careful. We have to be connected to our scholars. We can't always use our intelligence for everything. That I understand better. I know some. Whatever you think now at 20 years old, you'll be thinking very different at 40. Whatever you think at 40, you'll be thinking different at 60. The older you are, the more wisdom Allah Ta'ala gives you. If Allah Ta'ala has given you hidayat, the more wisdom Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives you. So we cannot automatically assume. This is one of the big problems of the day, that people start to feel that our ulama, our scholars don't know what they're talking about. This particular scholar knows what he's talking about. Apart from him, everybody else is lost. Apart from this one scholar who I follow on YouTube, everybody else is a lost sheep. Everybody else is going to misguide me. And this one scholar has guidance in his hands. Allah Ta'ala has written guidance for him. Who am I to make that decision? Who am I to make that assessment? How qualified am I? It's like you put a child and you tell the child, go to university, look at all the courses, you tell me which course is the best one. What understanding or qualification does that child have? Well, if you say, all of these teachers are teaching English, you go to all of these teachers' classes, tell me which is the best teacher. How is that child going to know who is the best teacher, who is the most qualified, who is having the most impact on their students? He's not in a position. So similarly, when a person starts learning about Islam, starts learning about deen, they should not be too hasty, and they should not start thinking, oh, you know what, I'm in a position to know this person is good, this person is bad, I'm never going to listen to this guy again, I'm always going to listen to this guy because whatever he says is resonating with me. It's too early for you to make these kind of decisions. Stay connected with the ulama. We need to keep ourselves humble. We need to always look for good qualities in other people and never look at bad qualities. If I ever see a bad quality in someone else, I need to see that as a bad quality in myself. How dare I recognize a bad quality in someone else? I shouldn't even see a bad quality in somebody else. I should only see good qualities. When Sayyid Ahmed Khan, rahmatullahi alayh, one of the great scholars of the past, he used to say that if you see your fellow Muslim brother doing something which you do not like or which you find reprehensible, you do not like, said make 70 excuses for him. Say, could be he's doing it because of this. Could be he's doing it because of this. Don't automatically start assuming that he is guilty and he is a very bad person. He said, make 70 excuses for him. Try and find 70 excuses for him. 70 meaning exhaust your options. It's possible that he was doing this. It's possible he did it because of this reason. And he said, even after 70, trying to find 70 excuses for him, if you are still thinking bad of him in your heart, then say to yourself, look at you, you can't even find 70 excuses for a Muslim brother. How despicable you are. So at the end of the day, bring the blame back home. This is how a person will stay humble. And the more humble we stay, the closer we will become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are just a few pieces of advice for myself and all of my brothers here. Inshallah, I'm just going to do one hadith from our Riyadh Salihin lesson so that this silsila continues as well, inshallah. This chain continues. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته الإمام راع ومسؤول عن رعيته والرجل راع في أهله ومسؤول عن رعيته والمرأة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها والخادم راع في مال سيده ومسؤول عن رعيته وكلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته متفق عليه. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, who mentions that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, All of you are shepherds, وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, and all of you are responsible. Each of you is a shepherd, and each of you is responsible for his flock, for his herd. الْإِمَامُ الرَّاعِن, the imam is a shepherd, responsible. By imam, it means the leader of the Muslim country. وَمَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, and he is responsible for his flock. The Amir, the Muslim leader of a country, is responsible for those people who are under him. وَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي أَهْلِهِ, a man is responsible for his family members. وَمَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, مَسْؤُول means he's responsible. The literal word مَسْؤُول literally means he will be asked. He's responsible means he will be asked. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about you, I blessed you with a wife, children. Did you fulfill their haqq? Did you fulfill their rights? Yes, oh Allah, I brought them everything they needed. I spent as much money as I had to on them. Did you fulfill their right by me? Did you tell them about me? Did you tell them about the akhirat? Did you teach them the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When my child is eating with his right hand. When my child is drinking, is he drinking with his right hand? My child is putting on clothes, is he starting with the right side and then the left side? When my child is going to the bathroom, is he fulfilling the sunnah of istinja? When my child is going to sleep, is he reading the du'as? When he's waking up, is he reading the du'as? When he's at a young age, am I teaching how to read namaz? All of these hadith will come later on anyway. All of these are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us. Many people, you know, their children, and we hear these stories more and more now, and I'm sure, mashallah, we have our Mufti Sahib here from Huddersfield as well. Any scholar will hear so many stories of people whose children have gone kind of wayward. And they always say, I've done as much as I can for this child. I've done as much as I can for my son. I've done as much as I could for my daughter. She's now 20 years old, she doesn't want to listen to me, she wants to do this and that, and she wants to scream and shout at home, and she wants to go out till late at night. I've given up now, she can leave, she can go. Allah is not going to ask me, I did everything. What do you mean you did everything? Food, drink, clothes, shelter, you think this is everything? Did you do the Islamic tarbiyah and upbringing the way Allah Ta'ala required from you? First of all, if you are someone who is not punctual with their 5-time salah, how on earth are you going to ensure your children are punctual with 5-time salah? If you are a man but you're not reading your 5 times namaz in the masjid, and your child doesn't read namaz in the masjid, your child doesn't even read namaz, you have your weaknesses. If you have weaknesses, your children's weaknesses will be double yours. Every zamana, every era that comes is worse than the one before it. I need to be the best Islamic role model for my children. SubhanAllah, I was in Holland a couple of years ago, and I met a brother there, a very, very nice brother, Fuad. He was an Algerian brother. And I just saw the way he would, you know, I used to ask some advice from him about, you know, tarbiyah of children, etc. And I used to see how he was with his children. He had such an open relationship with his children. They used to speak to him like their best friend. They used to tell him everything. He used to advise them, but in such a beautiful way, like he was never imposing on them. It's about wisdom. So I would ask him, what is the best way to do tarbiyah of your children and your wife and your family members? So he would say, you need to be extremely strict upon yourself and very lenient upon them, very soft upon them. He said, the strictness needs to be on you. You know, your namaz, your timetable, your tilawat, staying away from sin, staying away from haram, they need to see that practical example in you. If they don't see that practical example in you, you can do the lip service as much as you want. Do this, don't do this, halal, haram, right, wrong. Allah is going to be angry, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be upset. You can say this all day, all night, the effects will never materialize. You'll never see the effects. But if you are strict upon yourself with halal, with haram, and very gently, time to time, you nudge your children and your family members in that direction, the effect will be much greater than you can imagine. And you see, when people pass away, what do people say? My dad used to always say this. My mum used to always say this. They don't say that. My dad used to always do this. My father used to always do this. My mum used to always do this. They never say, my dad used to sit there all day telling us to read namaz. I miss him so much. They say, my dad used to always read his namaz in the masjid 5 times. He never used to miss. People remember actions. They don't remember words. So it's very, very important to become practical examples that our children can follow. So, وَرَجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي أَهْلِهِ, a man is a shepherd in his family members and he is responsible for his flock. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَاعِيَةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا, a woman is the shepherd of, or is responsible in the house of her husband, and she will be asked about her flock. So her children, the house, her husband, when her husband leaves the home, she is responsible to make sure, firstly, that anyone who the husband does not like does not enter the house. Secondly, anything that the husband has left at home is an amana, a trust that she should be safeguarding. She should not betray that trust. She should not go against that trust. And if she does so, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask her about it. And the greatest trust are his children. Unfortunately, nowadays the situation is such, as soon as the father goes out, the mother says, okay, you wanted to go there, your dad didn't let you, go. Quietly go, before he comes back, go and do what you have to do and come back. So this is an amana, a trust. My children are my trust. I want to bring them up in the Islamic way, in the correct way. I want them to know who Allah is. I want them to stay away from haram. I want them to do the correct things. And my wife knows what I want. But as soon as I go, I say, he's too strict. Don't worry, go do what you have to do. So what is she now doing to my children? All of the hard work and all of the effort that the father is putting in, those few hours the father is away, where the responsibility now is lying with the mother, she is pouring water all over this. And she is destroying all of this hard work and hard effort. That's why the wife is responsible for the home of her husband. وَالْخَادِمُ رَاعٍ فِي مَالِ سَيِّدِهِ وَمَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهِ. The servant is responsible for the wealth of his master, and he is the servant is a shepherd over the wealth of his master, and he is responsible for his flock. Meaning, his master, the servant who works for the master, can also apply to an employee who works for a boss. MashaAllah, all of us are probably employees, we all need to work. And we're so easy to criticize our bosses, criticize the companies that we work for. You know, in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, أُعْطُ الْأَجِيرَ أَجْرَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَجُفَّ عِرْقُهُ. That give the laborer his wages before his sweat dries. You know, and we can quote these things, and the alim, I know this hadith, and people quote this, that give my wages before my sweat dries. And the great scholar of Pakistan, Mufti Taqi Sahib, Dawud Barakatum, he mentioned this once post. He mentioned that, look, there's this hadith: give the employee their wages before their sweat dries. However, we need to ask ourselves as employees, do any of us even sweat when we work? Meaning, do we even put in the hard effort? Are we fulfilling the haq of our employers? When we demand our wages and when we demand our payments and we say, I'm not being treated right, am I fulfilling the haq of my employer? It's very, very important. These are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us about on the day of Qiyamah. And then, وَكُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَمَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَاعِيَتِهِ. All of you are shepherds and all of you are responsible. Every single one of you is a shepherd and each of you is responsible for his flock. This is a hadith narrated by both Imam al-Bukhari and Imam al-Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq and the ability to practice upon these hadith. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.